we will get right to it. Amen, we will. And it's a very generous God that we serve. And He knows no other way to be. He is a giver, and He is so wonderful that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're thankful that You have given us so much. In fact, everything that we have has been given to us by You. And all we can give You back is praise and honor and glory. Help us, dear Lord, to bring this to the attention of Your children, that we may have thanksgiving in our heart this wonderful Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, amen. Gifts, giving, graciousness, grace, all these words describe the wonderful things that God has done for us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He made all these things in a period of 6 days, and He just kept piling it on. He created this, He created that. All the creatures and all the plants and all the animals, everything was put into this beautiful planet we call Earth, and it was handed over to us. And God said, it's all for you. And all the edible plants that I have given you, the herbs and the fruit and all this is yours. I have provided this for you. And He planted a garden in Eden, and He said, here you go. It's all yours. I only have one little thing I don't want you to touch or eat or go near, and that's that tree in the middle of the garden. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And were we satisfied to leave it alone? No, we were not. But God has ever been a giver. God is generous. God is forgiving. Are you for anything? Are there some things that you are for? Well, God is forgiving. He gives and He forgives. If you mess up, if your life is in ruins, He will give you forgiveness. He will forgive your sins. And not only will He forgive your sins, but He will wash them away into the sea of His forgetfulness to be remembered no more. And He will give you a new heart. Oh, He's such a giver. He gives you a song in the night. He gives you joy, peace that the world cannot give and the world cannot take it away. He is generous. He gave us a plan of salvation. Everything that He made was made for us. God gave Noah a plan of salvation. God gave Israel a plan of salvation. And God has given to us a plan of salvation. What did God give us? He gave us Jesus. Jesus gave us His life. He gave us His example. He gave us His teachings. He gave us His Spirit. God is a generous giver. And God has done all these things so that we can become like the gift that He gave to us. He wants us to become like Jesus. He wants us to stop being so selfish and be givers and to be generous and to be unselfish and to give because it has been given to us. He has been generous with us, and He wants to promote a kingdom of givers. He poured out His life for us. He allowed them to beat Him to death and to hang Him on a tree, and He poured out His blood for the forgiveness of sin. And He said, when ye pray, forgive others their trespasses. And if you do not forgive others their trespasses and their sins, neither will God forgive you your trespasses and your sins. The Godhead has given us gifts. All the gifts that God has given us are given to us for a purpose. Everything that He has given us, He wants us to use for His glory. He has given us things called spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." God does not want us to be ignorant of the gifts that He has given to us for a holy purpose, to set us apart from all the people of the world so that they will look upon us and say, "Let us go there and let us get these gifts for ourselves." Because we become like trees planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth its fruit in season. And what do we have but gifts that God has given us? And they are to grow into fruition into our lives so that the nations can come to us for healing and pluck of the good things of God from His people. As we bear fruit, we bless the world. When we are a barren tree, we are not good for anything but to be plucked up by the roots, dried out and cast into the fire. God wants us to be givers, to be generous, for that is His nature. And we overcome the selfishness and the ways of the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and we have the Bible as a gift from God to be our guidebook to the glory land. While we are on this world and in this life, Jesus is our life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Have you looked upon death as gain, as something that is a blessing? Until you can look upon or look beyond death and see the glorious future that we have in Jesus and the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem and all sin and all sickness and all sorrow and all wars and all strife done away with, if you can look beyond this life and see what God is preparing still, hasn't God already given us enough, and yet He is preparing more and more and more for us? And when people are healed in our midst, it is just a smidgen of what God wants to do, because God is looking after the needy. Those needs that you have that God knows about, He wants you to ask Him about and ask to heal you of your afflictions. And if any man is afflicted, let him pray. But if any man is sick, they can call for the elders of the church, and we will pray for them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. All the resources of the Bible are here, and He has given us these things. Surely we should avail ourselves of them. You know, God gave Noah a plan of salvation, and Noah acted upon that plan. And just because God has provided Jesus Christ for our sins, and He died on the cross for our sins, and He poured out His blood for our sins, doesn't mean we're automatically saved and ready to go and ready to go to heaven. And we cannot claim that unless we avail ourselves of the plan of salvation and appropriate those things for ourselves. You are not automatically saved because Jesus died on the cross. You are saved when you put yourself in obedience to the plan of salvation. And it is an ongoing process. We are justified, we are sanctified, and we will be glorified if we continue and overcome to the end. God gave Noah a plan, and He gave Israel a plan. And Israel had a tabernacle, they had the law, and they had the law of Moses, and they did all these things, and they were to follow these instructions. And they said, "If you eat the things I told you to eat," and we thank Dr. Baez for his health message, but he said, "If you do these things, then none of these diseases that I have put on the Egyptians will be yours." God has given us the opportunity to be healthy if we avail of the biblical principles of health. And He has given us the option of being lost or saved, in heaven and resurrected from the dead and living and enjoying all the benefits of the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, or eternal oblivion and being burnt up in the lake of fire if we so choose. He has given us the free will choice. Oh, God is a giver. He is so generous. And the plan of salvation ever has been the same. It is by faith you are saved. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God is a giver. And the purpose of the gifts, he gave gifts. And when Christ ascended, and what did he give to men? Well, wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man. That's Ephesians 4 and 8. And what were these gifts that Christ gave to man? Here they are, folks. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. God has given these ministries to the church. And are all apostles, are all prophets, are all evangelists, are all pastors and teachers? No, but a lot are. And they are put into the church to help edify and build up the church. And there are some other ways of looking at this. There are gifts this way. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues or many languages. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. Now, can you pick out where your ministry is there? Do you know why you are in the church today? Do you know what your gift is? Do you know what God has given you? Whatever it is that you're good at, God wants you to use for his glory, to help build his kingdom, to build up the church, so that we all can succeed in our Christian journey, to where to help one another. And I see mine in there. I don't particularly see that I'm an apostle, and I'm not so much a prophet, but I am a teacher. And I see helps. I think I try to help as much as I can. I think I'm pretty successful at helping folks, but I got to work on these things. And help me, pray for me, and let's pray one for another, that we might find our place in the body of Christ and get busy building up the temple. Amen. Building up the temple of the Lord. Ye are his temple. Ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And what are the purpose of these gifts? For what purpose were these gifts bestowed upon the church? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That's Ephesians 4, verses 12 to 15. The answer to all our problems and challenges is in this Word of God. It's in Christ. It's in Jesus Christ. If we look unto him, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we shall succeed. We shall overcome. We shall be strong and do exploits. Isn't that wonderful? Do you see the potential in the person sitting next to you? Do you see that they are a child of God and that we need one another to succeed? This is not a journey we need go on alone. But God has given us all to one another to work together to make it, to succeed. And unity is preserved this way. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We need to cultivate the Spirit of Christ. We need to cultivate the Holy Spirit. We need to make him welcome in our hearts and lives, and not to grieve him by our behaviors. by our words, by our deeds. If we want a unified, growing, vibrant church, we must cooperate with Him, cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and love one another as He has loved us. And why is the Spirit manifested to us? Why has it been given? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another many or diverse kinds of tongues or languages, and to another the interpretation of languages or tongues. And how do they work? How do these gifts work? But all of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. God will give each of these gifts to the individuals He has in mind to do so. And if they all work together, the body grows up into the fullness and stature of Christ. Was it God's design that all should possess the same gifts? No. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. But they're there. And we need to find out our place in the body of Christ. And we need to get about our Father's business. When will these gifts be no longer needed? When will they be finished? When will we be done using the gifts of the Spirit? When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. God is a giver, and He wants us to be unselfish. And as Peter said, if Peter and John were talking to the crippled man on the steps, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So, whatever you have, whatever it is that God has given you, give it away. You cannot outgive God. You cannot exhaust the gift of love. Love cannot be exhausted. If you use the love you have, God will give you more. If you use the faith that you have, God will increase your faith. Everything gets stronger when you use it. When you exercise your muscles, they get stronger. When you exercise your intellect, it gets stronger too. When you exercise faith and all these wonderful gifts, they will grow, they will increase, and multitudes will be healed, starting with you. Can you make a difference in the world? Yes, you can. Yes, we can. Where have we heard that before? We can do it if we all work and cooperate with the Spirit of God, and let us memorize as much Scripture as we can, so that when the Holy Spirit needs to do something or say something through you, you will be ready. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we give You the praise and the honor and glory for all these gifts that You have given unto us. Lord, we want to be God's gift to the world, because You so loved us that You gave Your only begotten Son. Father, I thank You that You are not like the adversary, but that You just pour out Your all the resources and the riches of heaven, and they're available to us for the asking. So Lord, I want to begin asking for more and more, believing more and more, and achieving more and more with the cooperation of my brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And why did I call my sermon Grant? Why? I hope you've been thinking about that all the way through. Because Grant, according to the dictionary, means gift. And now you know the rest of the story. Amen. All right, let's sing.